Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Are you there, Don?
Yes, good morning there. Good morning, dear.
Good morning. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and it that matters on where in the world you are. So whatever time zone you're in, it's time for the Catholic Defender, the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, Novena. Today is the fifth day, and we have St. Catherine of Siena. who we're going to be talking about a little bit. Today, bring me the souls of those who have separated themselves from my church and immerse them in the ocean of my mercy. During my bitter passion, they tore at my body and heart. That is my church. As they return to unity with the church, my wounds heal. In this way, they alleviate my passion. My most merciful Jesus, goodness itself, you do not refuse light to those who seek it of you. Receive into the abode of your most compassionate heart the souls of those who have separated themselves from your church. Draw them by your light into the unity of the church, and do not let them escape from the abode of your most compassionate heart, but bring it about that they too come to glorify the generosity of your mercy. Eternal Father, turn your merciful gaze upon the souls of those who have separated themselves from your Son's church, who have squandered your blessings and misused your graces by obstinately persisting in their errors. Do not look upon their errors, but look upon the love of your own Son and upon his bitter passion which he underwent for their sake, since they too are enclosed in the most compassionate heart. Bring it about that they also may glorify your great mercy for endless ages. Amen. The message of the divine mercy that Sister Faustina received from the Lord was not only directed towards their personal growth in faith, but also towards the good of the people. With the command of the Lord to paint an image according to the pattern that Sister Faustina had seen, comes also the request to have this image venerated, first in the sister's chapel, and then throughout the world. The same is true with the revelation of the chaplet. The Lord requested that this chaplet be said not only by Sister Faustina, but by others. Encourage souls to say the chaplet that I have given you. The same is true of the revelation of the Feast of Mercy. The Feast of Mercy emerged from my very depths of tenderness. It is my desire that it solemnly be celebrated on the first Sunday after Easter. Mankind will not have peace until it turns to the fount of my mercy. These requests of the Lord given to Sister Faustina between 1931 and 1938 can be considered the beginnings of the Divine Mercy message and devotion in the new forms. Jesus reveals God as merciful Father. The Old Testament speaks frequently and with great tenderness about God's mercy, yet it was Jesus who, through the words and actions, revealed to us in an extraordinary way, God is a loving Father, rich in mercy and abounding in great kindness and love. In Jesus' merciful love and care for the poor, the oppressed, the sick and the sinful, and especially in his freely choosing to take upon himself the punishment for our sins, a truly horrible suffering and death on the cross, so that all may be freed from destructive consequences and death, he manifested in a superabundant and radical way the greatness of God's love and mercy for all humanity. In his person as God-man, one in being with the Father, Jesus both reveals God's love and mercy itself. The message of God's love and mercy is especially made known by the Gospels, the good news revealed through Jesus Christ that God's love for each person knows no bounds, and no sin nor infidelity, no matter how horrible, will separate us from God and his love when we turn to him in confidence and seek his mercy. God's will is our salvation, and he has done all on our behalf, but since he made us free, he invites us to choose him and partake of his divine life. We become partakers of his divine life when we believe in his revealed truth and trust him, when we love him and remain true to his word, when we honor him and seek his kingdom, when we receive him in communion and turn away from sin, when we are mutually caring and forgiving. Prayer for the day. Most merciful Jesus, goodness itself, you do not refuse light to those who seek it of you. Receive into the abode of your most compassionate heart the souls of those who have separated themselves from your church. Draw them by your light into the unity of the church, and do not let them escape from the abode of your most compassionate heart, but bring it about that they may too come to adore the generosity of your mercy. Even for those who have torn the garment of your unity, a fount of mercy flows from your heart. The omnipotence of your mercy, O God, can lead those souls out of error. Eternal Father, turn your merciful gaze upon the souls of those who have separated themselves from your church, who have squandered your blessings and misused your graces by obstinately persisting in their errors. Do not look upon their errors, but upon the love of your own Son and upon his bitter passion, which he underwent for their sake, since they too are enclosed in the most compassionate heart of Jesus. Bring it about that they also may glorify your great mercy for endless ages. Amen. Diary 1219. St. Catherine of Siena, Novena, Day 1. We praise your glory in the life of the admirable St. Catherine of Siena, Virgin and Doctor of the Church. Her whole life was a noble sacrifice inspired by an ardent love of Jesus, your unblemished Lamb. In troubled times, she strenuously upheld the rights of his beloved spouse, the Church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, your glory is in your saints. We praise your glory in the life of the admirable St. Catherine of Siena, Virgin and Doctor of the Church. Her whole life was a noble sacrifice inspired by an ardent love of Jesus, your unblemished Lamb. In troubled times, she strenuously upheld the rights of his beloved spouse. The Church, Father, honor her merits and hear her prayers for each of us and for our whole parish family dedicated to her. Help us to pass unscathed through the corruption of this world and remain unshakably faithful to the Church in word, deed, and example. Help us always to see the Vicar of Christ as an anchor in the storms of life and a beacon of light to the harbor of your love. In this dark night of your times and men's souls, grant also to each of us our special petition. We pray for America, for our Constitution, for those suffering addictions and those in bondage, for those who need deliverance. We pray for the Catholic Church, for Pope Francis and all the clergy. We ask this through Jesus, your Son, in the bond of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Catherine of Siena, pray for us. Lord, hear our prayer of St. Catherine of Siena. God our Father, enkindled in the flame of holy love and in your heart, and you meditated on the passion of Jesus, his Son. Moved by his grace, you devoted your life to the poor and the sick, as well as to the peace and unity of the Church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Thursday of the second week of Easter. Reading 1, Acts 5, 27 through 33. And before that, I believe we have something musical. Is that right, Don?
This is all.
5:27-33. When the court officers had brought the apostles in and made them stand before the Sanhedrin, the high priest questioned them. We gave you strict orders, did we not, to stop teaching in that name? Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and want to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles said in reply, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus, though you had him killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to grant Israel repentance and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things, as is the Holy Spirit whom God has given those who obey him. When they heard this, they became infuriated and wanted to put them to death. Responsorial Psalm, Psalm 34, verse 2. When the court officers had brought the apostles and made them stand before the Sanhedrin, the high priest questioned them. We gave you strict orders, did we not, to stop teaching in that name? Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and want to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles said in reply, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus, though you had him killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to grant Israel repentance and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things, as is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they became infuriated and wanted to put them to death. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be ever in my mouth. Taste and see that how good the Lord is. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. The Lord confronts the evildoers to destroy the remembrance of them from the earth. When the just cry out, the Lord hears them, and from all their distresses he rescues them. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and those who are crushed in spirit he saves. Many are the troubles of the just man, and out of them all the Lord delivers him. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. John 20:29. You believe in me, Thomas, because you have seen me, says the Lord. Blessed are those who have not seen but still believe. The Gospel, John 3:31-36. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of earthly things. But the one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard. But no one accepts his testimony. Whoever does accept his testimony certifies that God is trustworthy. For the one whom God sent speaks the word of God. He does not ration his gifts of the Spirit. The Father loves the Son and has given everything over to him. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever disobeys the Son will not see life. But the wrath of God remains upon him. Our saint of the day is coming up, St. Conrad of Pienza, Miracle of the Bread.
Ladies and gentlemen, presenting Hartley's Heroes. here's Donald Hartley with his Hartley's Hero for today. Presenting from Deeper Truth, the Saint of the Day. They say that every dog has its day. Well, so does every saint. And when the saints go marching in, Donald Hartley, the Catholic defender, knows exactly who's going to be in that number. And he'll share them with you every day. That's the Saint of the Day for inspiring true stories of your everyday saint. Don't worry, they won't bite.
Oh, they won't bite a bit. They'll help. Saint of the Day today is Saint Conrad of Placenza, the miracle of the bread. 1290, February 19, 1351, born of a noble family in northern Italy. Conrad, as a young man, married Ephrosine, daughter of a nobleman. One day while hunting, he ordered attendants to set fire to some brush in order to flush out the game. The fire spread to nearby fields and to a large forest. He married an aristocratic young woman when he was quite young. Though pious, he led the normal way of life for a man of his station. One day, as he was engaged in his usual pastime of hunting within his family's domain, he ordered his attendants to set fire to some brushwood in which game had taken refuge. The prevailing wind caused the flames to spread rapidly to the surrounding fields and forest. A peasant who happened to be found near where the fire began was accused of starting the blaze and was imprisoned, tortured to confess, and condemned to death. Because he ran, an innocent man was convicted for spreading the fire and was condemned to death as punishment. Upon hearing of this, Conrad stepped forth to accept the blame, saving the innocent man's life. He paid for the damaged property, and he and his wife gave everything they owned to the poor in recompense. Conrad then left to join a group of Franciscan hermits, and his wife joined the poor Clares. As the man was being led to execution, a remorseful Conrad publicly admitted his guilt to the signor of the city. As punishment and reparation for the damages he had caused, the city seized all his assets, only sparing his life due to his noble status. After many years of an itinerant life, he settled there in a grotto now named for him, and the rest of his life spent a most austere and penitential life of solitude, working numerous miracles and gifted with prophecy. In 1343, Conrad felt called by God to serve the local people more directly, and in 1343 went to the city of Netham, where he cared for the sick at the Hospital of St. Martin there for the next 2 years. Soon after this event, Conrad and his wife agreed to separate. She to a poor Clare monastery, and he to a group of hermits following the third order rule. His reputation for holiness, however, spread quickly. Since his many visitors destroyed his solitude, Conrad went to a more remote spot in Sicily, where he lived 36 years as a hermit, praying for himself and the rest of the world. He enthusiastically promoted the seraphic word of charity, which aided neglected children. Conrad spent hours in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. He regularly asked the Blessed Mother to intercede for him and for the many people he included in his prayers. The ever-present Conrad was canonized in 1934. Word eventually spread of Conrad's holiness, piety, and gift of healing. When many visitors began to destroy his life of silence and solitude, he moved to Sicily, where he lived and prayed as a hermit for 36 years. Conrad visited the bishop later to make a general confession to him. As he arrived, Conrad was surrounded by fluttering birds. Around 1340, he settled in Sicily, where he became a solitary hermit in the Valley of Noto. Here, too, his reputation spread, and people flocked to his cell to be cured through his prayers. St. Conrad is invoked for the cure of hernia. This comes from miracles attributed to him. Legend has it that he was visited at his hermitage by an old friend, Antonio de Cesa, who was suffering from the pain of a hernia he had developed. Seeing the pain he was in, Conrad was moved to pity and prayed for him. Cesa was immediately cured of the hernia. He also prayed for a local tailor who who suffered severely from several hernias, and the man was instantly cured. The miracle for which Conrad is best known is the miracle of the bread. This occurred during the Great Famine of Sicily in 1348-49. During that catastrophe, anyone who came to St. Conrad for help was given a loaf of bread, still warm, which it was said he had received from the angels. Prayer and penance were his answer to the temptations that beset him. Conrad died kneeling before a crucifix. He was canonized in 1625. Conrad died while in prayer, kneeling before a crucifix on 19 February 1351, the day he had predicted. The saint is invoked as a patron of hernia sufferers. The miracle for which Conrad is best known is the miracle of the bread. This developed during the aforementioned famine, which affected Sicily as a result of a severe outbreak of the bubonic plague on the island during 1348-49. During that catastrophe, anyone who came to St. Conrad for help was given a loaf of bread, still warm, which it was said he had received from the angels. Conrad was beatified in 1515 and canonized in Placenza in 1645. He is invoked as a patron of hernia sufferers due to several healings that were attributed to him. And that is our saint for the day. What a life.
Really? And what an encouragement for sinners. Because he set that fire. And another guy, another person took the blame for it. And he does the right thing. But it just shows you that we can be redeemed in the Lord's presence still
yes,
with
we
us.
Can.
I mean, this is a saint of hope to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that, so we have a lot of these novenas, and so since we're tomorrow, we'll be doing day six.
Day six. You don't want to miss it. It gets better every day.
Yes, it does. And thank you so much, Mike. The Lord is smiling at you, and so is his mother, too.
Well, I sure hope so.
These stories out. And I hope they touch my throat so I get my voice back.
Yeah.
That would be a miracle right now. All right. Mike, I'm going to end with this song. So, we'll see you tomorrow. God bless you, my friend.
Oh, you picked some good ones.
Well, this is a little different, but I think it's okay. All right. New ways. something, Mike?
I'm here.
You know.
I'm
he
here.
He gave his life away. Yeah, he gave his life away. That he would give us the chaplet of the divine mercy novena. Ain't that something?
Yeah, that is amazing. I've got a couple of schedule things I needed. I got a couple of schedule things I need to talk to you about so we get off the air. I'll call you on your other. I'll call you on your other phone.
All right. God bless you, Mike, and thank you so much.
Hey, anytime. Glad to do it.
Okay. We'll talk a little bit later. God bless.
Okay, God bless you. We'll call you in a few minutes.